Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It's your girl, Denise Salcedo, and it is Friday, January 19th. We are 1 week away from the Royal Rumble, and today we're here to talk about WWE SmackDown. Now, man, given that we are so close to the Rumble, man, I can't even believe it, guys. Like, I feel like 1 second we were celebrating Christmas, ringing in the new year, and next thing you know, the Royal Rumble is almost here. I'm very excited because I am going to be in Florida. So I'm leaving Thursday, but I still got a whole slate of shows coming up next week. So of course, I'll be here on Tuesday to talk about NXT. Wednesday, I'll be here for AEW Dynamite Conversation, and I'll also be doing Royal Rumble predictions. And then on top of that, the only show I think I'm not doing a post show for next week is SmackDown. So I guess unless something changes, because I will be in Florida. So we'll see. I still haven't decided yet. We'll see what happens once I actually get to Florida and see what my internet's connection is like over there. Because I didn't have good luck in Orlando with internet, but this time I'll be in Tampa. I've never been to Tampa. So I'm hoping that the internet is a lot better than it was in Orlando, of all things. But anyways, we got so much to get into here today for SmackDown. But before we do, just a heads up to everybody. So I remember if you guys were here on the AEW Dynamite post show on Wednesday, I had mentioned that I was going to be dropping a pretty cool interview today. Well, it's up there right now. I spoke for almost close to an hour with Dustin Rhodes, ladies and gents. And for those of you who have already heard the interview, you guys know what I'm talking about in terms of Dustin was such a awesome person to interview because he is so insightful, and he is the kind of person that makes my job as an interviewer so much more easier because he gives so much great information when he's like talking and telling stories. So check out that interview. Check out that interview with Dustin Rhodes, and let me know what you guys thought about it. That is up here on the channel. But now let's go ahead and get into SmackDown. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for sending 5 DWO memberships. Appreciate you so very much for that. And we got people saying Alan Martinez says that Florida internet hits different. Does it really? I mean, I don't know, because it's not like if I know what's going down there in Florida, but I don't know, man. I just had really bad experiences with their Wi-Fi, so I'm a little bit on the nervous side of things, but we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Everything will be okay. No pasa nada. Tranquilo. It's all going to be okay. Thank you so much to JCWV88, who says that they enjoyed the interview with Dustin. Thank you so much. I appreciate that very, very much. All right, guys. So let's get to it. Enough stalling. Let's talk about SmackDown. So I'm going to kick things off, as always, with the juicy stuff of the show. And of course, the juiciest stuff of tonight's show was definitely the contract signing and the two big matches that we got for heading into the Royal Rumble. We had, so much go down with all of these guys that are going to be in this Fatal 4-Way. But here's what went down. We kicked things off with the contract signing at the top of this. And AJ Styles goes out there. He signs the contract fast. LA Knight goes out there. He signs fast. Randy Orton goes out there. He signs it really fast. And then finally, when you think Roman Reigns is going to come out, he doesn't. Instead, it's Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman comes out and he's like, nah, I'm not going to, you know, Roman Reigns is not going to sign this contract. He's still pissed that Nick Aldis even made this match because he doesn't think that Roman Reigns should be out there wrestling and in a Fatal 4-Way match. And so Nick Aldis threatens Paul Heyman and tells him, all right, if your guy doesn't sign this, then we're going to go ahead and do a triple threat match for the vacant championship. And of course, Paul Heyman was not going to have that at all. So he gets back in there. He gives Nick Aldis a bunch of backhanded compliments. And from here, we end up seeing AJ Styles and LA Knight kind of get into it. And so they're going back and forth about why each guy had their reasons to face Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble one-on-one. And what was really funny about this is that the entire time, Randy Orton was just in the back chilling. Now, if you guys were here last week, I had mentioned that I wasn't a big fan of the can they coexist angle because they had AJ Styles and LA Knight teaming up last week. However, I will say this, even though I didn't like the coexist angle last week, this week, what I did like was the follow-up to all of this. I love that AJ Styles and LA Knight are still going at each other. I still like that Randy Orton's like, let these two MFers kill each other. That's fine. I'm in the match. I'm still going to get my portion of the cake. I'm still going to go in there and, you know, work my way towards becoming the champion and defeating Roman Reigns. So I did like the follow-up of what they did here today. And so this closes out, or rather this leads to, excuse me, a match between LA Knight and AJ Styles. Now, we also had another match that was already announced, and this was between Randy Orton and Solo Sikoa. So there was kind of a lot that went down in these two matches. The first thing for LA Knight and AJ Styles is that this match never really took off. I mean, they wrestled for like a couple of minutes. We saw them chop each other. We saw LA Knight smash AJ Styles' face into the commentary table, which I kind of feel like he's always smashing AJ Styles' face in the commentary table. I feel like I've said that at least 100 times because I feel like it's happened at least 100 times. But Jimmy Uso basically goes out there and distracts LA Knight, and it almost works for a second. You think, oh, the match is going to go back. It's going to continue. But just as LA Knight is going to go back and handle his business with AJ Styles, Solo Sikoa comes out and takes him out with a Samoan spike. So this match ends in a DQ, and then he attacks AJ Styles. So I liked this because for two reasons I like this. I didn't necessarily want to see LA Knight, AJ Styles, because I'm kind of the person that when you're going into a big match, I almost don't want to see the people in the big match touch each other or have any sort of matches until like the moment, until like the big matchup at the pay-per-view. I don't mind seeing them like brawl and fight and things like that. But like in a matchup, I prefer to wait until the big moment. Now, granted, it's a fatal four-way and this was a one-on-one, but I still prefer to kind of wait until we actually get the big match at the Royal Rumble. So that was the first reason why I liked it. The second reason why I liked this was because this was literally just Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso going out there to try to cause any sort of pain or damage LA Knight or AJ Styles as much as they possibly could, because they didn't care about who won this match. This wasn't their issue. This was an issue between LA Knight and AJ Styles. Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa did not care about that. They care about helping Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is what they care about. So if they could cause any damage to LA Knight or AJ ahead of this Royal Rumble match, then that is a freaking win for Solo and Jimmy. So I did like those two portions of how this all played out. But then we had more. So Randy Orton, Solo Sikoa is the main event of the night. And this one here, somewhat similar in that we don't actually really get like a full throttle match here. Jimmy Uso comes out during this match and LA Knight ends up attacking him though. So he never makes it all the way down. But just as Jimmy Uso is about to like take off, AJ Styles comes out and attacks him. So literally everybody's attacking everybody. And then finally we go into the ring. Randy Orton is literally about to get Samoan spiked by Solo Sikoa, but instead, when he turns around, he RKOs Solo Sikoa, so Solo Sikoa never got in his Samoan spike. So I thought that was a pretty cool way for Randy to actually win this match. Eventually, Randy Orton takes out AJ. He takes out LA Knight. He leaves them there with both he takes them both out with RKOs. But just as you thought, oh, Randy's standing tall, Randy's going to close out the show, you know, looking high and mighty. Nope. Roman Reigns comes out. Roman then he takes him out with a freaking Superman punch, takes out Randy Orton. And then this is where I knew something was going to happen, because Roman Reigns was setting up a spear for the longest time. For the longest time, he was just there setting up a spear. Now, I'm going to be real with you guys. Looking at the clock and looking at where we were at on the show, it was very obvious that they were stalling for time. And so it was like the world's longest waiting for Randy Orton to get up. And so you knew that Roman Reigns wasn't going to be successful in his spear because he just took way too long. So he finally goes, he tries to get the spear, but instead Randy Orton freaking RKOs him. And before this, Roman had signed the contract, by the way. So we close out the show with Randy Orton being the one that's standing tall. So it makes me wonder, what the hell, who? We've talked about this so many times. Who is the person that's going to be taking this pin at the Fatal 4-Way? My original prediction was that it was going to be Randy Orton. And then I switched to LA Knight. And now I'm back here again thinking that it's going to be Randy Orton that ends up taking the pin in this Fatal 4-Way match. So I've kind of gone back and forth on this. But either way, I did like what they did today, kind of leading into the Royal Rumble. The contract signing was different than what they normally do. And the way that these two big matches sort of played out all made sense to me in the scope of what they were doing heading into this Royal Rumble. So I was a big fan of what they did with everything here today, but we got a couple of super chats. Let's see what people are saying. Stephen Marchuli says, we'll be at the Royal Rumble. Welcome to Tampa, Denise. Yo, what's up? Hit me up. Hopefully we can meet up, Stephen, so that I can thank you in person for all of your awesome contributions on this show. So thank you so much. We got Alex Williams, who sends in a very generous super chat saying, do you think Cody Rhodes will win his second Royal Rumble match? You know what? I'm torn on this one, guys. I really am torn because my original pick was CM Punk. CM Punk was my original pick, but now there's this big question mark in the air because, as you guys might have seen, Seth Rollins is I don't know what the hell is going to go down with Seth Rollins because Seth Rollins ended up tearing his MCL, excuse me, his MCL, and so I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how long Seth Rollins is going to need to heal from a torn MCL and a partially torn meniscus as well. I don't know how long he's going to be out for, if it's going to impact WrestleMania 40 or not. I have no earthly idea what's going to go down with that. And so my original pick first was Cody Rhodes, and then I switched it to CM Punk, and I've been on CM Punk for the longest time. But now that there's this big question mark in the air with Seth Rollins and CM Punk, I do not know for sure what's going to go down at the Royal Rumble. It's the two top choices, in my opinion, are Cody Rhodes or CM Punk. To me, those are the top two names as to who I think is going to win. But it's just a matter of what the hell are they going to do for those main events? What are they going to do? I'm still going to go with CM Punk right now. I still haven't changed my opinion. I'm still going with CM Punk. I wouldn't mind it if it was Cody Rhodes, but I'm sticking with Punk right now. But there's a lot of question marks in the air right now. DarfSteven777 says, Randy got the upper hand tonight. Does that mean he takes the pin at the Rumble? And I'm torn if Asuka and Kairi should win the tag team titles. That's what I'm saying, Steven. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't know. Things were looking a little too good for Randy Orton here tonight. Does that mean that he is going to be the one to take the pin at the Royal Rumble? I mean, I had said this before. He was my original person that I thought that was going to be taking the pin, only because it's Randy Orton, guys. Like, come on now. Randy Orton, if he gets pinned, we're still going to love Randy Orton. Like, that's not going to change. He's still Randy Orton. Nothing is going to change. So for that reason, I do have a feeling he may be the one. And I know I had switched to LA Knight at one point, but then I'm thinking, I just think it would hurt LA Knight a lot if he is the one to take the pin. So I don't know anymore. And we got Corey MacArthur, who's been a DWL member for 7 months, says, good evening, Denise. You're the best. Thank you so much to Corey for this nice comment. We got Tunde Ud here, who sends in a super chat saying, hola, Denise, why doesn't SmackDown have a sing-along like Cody's or Seth's? Do we have anyone who we sing their song to on SmackDown? I mean, we bob our heads when Roman Reigns comes out. I love Roman Reigns' theme song, by the way, but no one's kind of sticking out to me right now off the top of my head, off of someone that we sing along their songs to. Nope, I don't think so, guys. Not for SmackDown, but I wouldn't mind it if we... I don't really care. I guess it's not something that I really thought about, but good question. We got Stephen Marchuli, who says Punk or Cody as the winner. I'm going with Punk as of right now. Who knows if I'll change my mind by the time I do official Royal Rumble predictions. KW, a DWO member for 5 months. Says congrats on the Dustin interview. Thank you so much, man. I was very happy when I got that approved. Tracy WV88 says, I love Solo is speaking. First time he's asked for the mic. Yeah, you know what? Solo Sikoa, I remember for the longest time he wasn't doing any talking. And then when he spoke, everybody was like, oh shit, we got to listen. This dude's speaking. He's definitely doing a lot more talking. He's not talking as much as LA Knight, but he is definitely doing a lot more talking. And I kind of like it. I don't mind it. I think at some point we had to hear what the man had to say. And regardless, because he doesn't speak that much, we tend to listen whenever he does. Thank you so much to Tracy for the super chat as well. Richard Martinez says, not enough themes have lyrics. Dude, just the other day, I was listening to my little wrestling playlist that I have of songs that I like on Spotify. And I was freaking bumping the same songs I always bump because, let's be real, I don't branch out anymore. I do sometimes, but not really. When it comes to pro wrestling theme songs, I either like it or I don't. There are certain songs that are popular, but just never made it onto my favorites playlist. And then there are songs that I just play over and over again. And so I was bumping. What was I bumping? Across the Nation. I freaking love that song, man. Across the Nation, that's my jam. I'm in a good mood if I'm listening to Across the Nation. And of course, Beautiful People, Marilyn Manson, always play that. But I was while I was listening to those songs, man, it really reminded me of when we used to get like a lot more of this like rock alternative music in WWE, and that's more my cup of tea besides like the pop music that I love and listen to because that's what I bow down to is pop music. But my second favorite genre is like rock music. And I remember, man, getting to discover all of these bands through WWE. And it kind of bummed me out that it's been years since I've discovered a new band through WWE. It's been years. And so I kind of want to get that back, you know? I want to discover another band that I liked as much as Saliva back in the day. I was even a big Creed fan. Are you kidding me? When they had My Sacrifice. Oh, I love that song so much. I went out and got the whole, I think it was the Weathered album. Got that whole album because of it. Forcible Entry was my favorite album, period. Still to this day, my favorite wrestling album ever is Forcible Entry. So anyways, all this to say, we need more rock music in WWE. We need more like alternative, real big energy type of songs that make me want to go out and Google the artists and add them to my Spotify playlist. It's been a long time. My songs on my playlist are so old. I need some new ones here. We got some, I like how everybody's sharing some good theme songs here. Lita's theme was really good on Forcible Entry. They all were. All the Forcible Entry songs, like the Drowning Pool Stone Cold Steve Austin song, or was it your Triple H one? The Triple H one, too, I really like that one, but I don't remember if Drowning Pool did the Triple H one or the Austin one on Forcible Entry. Someone remind me. But anyways, loved all of those. The dead man of RWT, Paul Morales, says, what if Seth has to vacate the heavyweight championship elimination chamber match for it? God, I really hope we don't have to get there. Paul, I don't even want to think about it. I just really hope we don't get to that situation because I still want to see CM Punk Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. And it would be a real shame if that match doesn't happen because that match has, you know, it's blurred the lines, guys. It's blurred the lines in the sense that we know Seth Rollins is not a fan of CM Punk. And yet they're out there doing business with one another. And it's kind of rare when you see situations like that nowadays. And so for that reason, I would really, really hate it. Really, really hated if this meant that Seth Rollins was completely out of WrestleMania. Now, I believe they said, or there might be a report out that they said that he's going to be addressing that over on Raw. Let's see here. Yeah, so it's looking, WWE has announced that an appearance by Seth Rollins will kick off Raw on Monday night, and he is going to address his future as the world's heavyweight champion. God damn. Oh, man, guys, I'm so bummed. Like, Seth Rollins has literally been, I know some people were kind of over Seth Rollins as World's Heavyweight Champion. I wasn't, because that dude, I'm a big fan of his work. I'm a big fan of his matches, period. But more so, I was a big fan of this story with him and CM Punk. Like that story, that whole storyline has been real honest money, in my opinion. And so I'm really sad if that doesn't happen and if he has to vacate the championship. So I'm going to kind of keep my hopes up, although my hopes up are probably not, that's not going to be very smart. JD Varnell, dude, hell yeah. Victoria's theme, All the Things She Said by Tattoo. Oh, I love that song. Are you kidding me? Love that song. I became a fan of Tattoo because of that song. Rodney Jenkins says, Heyman and Belts through the Dector don't go off. Oh, you mean when they went through the metal detector? There you go, the metal detector on SmackDown tonight. Thank you so much to Rodney Jenkins, by the way. Tunde Ud says, how many surprise entries do we have at the Royal Rumble? Any idea? I have no idea how many surprise entrants that we're going to have. They've announced quite a few people. I feel like we've at least gotten like 10 names, maybe. I haven't counted everybody who's officially declared, but we've had a couple of people already declare. I'm hoping that we do get some surprises. I'm hoping that we get some NXT people in there, like maybe like one or two. You know, like Bron Breakker would be really cool to see him in there. You know, a couple people like that. I think that would be fun. Thank you so much to Tunde Ud also for sending in that super chat. But that's where we're at. There's going to be a lot of things that we're going to find out on Monday as to what is going to happen and how this is going to impact WrestleMania. And if Seth Rollins does not, if Seth Rollins either vacates the title or doesn't vacate the title but can't compete, who the hell is going to be CM Punk's opponent? You know, it could be Drew McIntyre. I think Drew McIntyre would be great. Drew McIntyre, CM Punk. Who knows, guys? Maybe they'll push even hard. If the Seth Rollins CM Punk match can't happen, maybe they'll try even harder for CM Punk versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. They got to make something big, guys, because this is CM Punk's first WrestleMania back. Come on. It's got to be huge, guys. It's got to be huge. So we'll see what happens. Nick Grasso sends in a super chat saying, what's an opinion on Okada becoming a free agent and where do you think he will go, WWE or AEW? Honestly, I know that if he were to go to WWE, we're all curious as to what that would look like. Like, what would it be like to have somebody like Okada on WWE? But when it comes down to it, man, I just think he's like a great fit for AEW. I think that AEW, I don't know. I just think that AEW, like, he's been there. He's wrestled matches there. He knows what it's like already. So maybe that could be, like, a bonus for him already. But I just feel like, come on, like, they're about to bring in Will Ospreay into the mix of things. He's almost there. And you still got, you know, your Bryan Danielson's there. I mean, there, Jay White is there. There are so many freaking people that I just feel like if you add Okada to that mix, it's just like, all of a sudden, you have so many best of both worlds situations on AEW, where you're getting a lot of like this former, you know, New Japan talent, and then also with what they have right now. And so for me, I think that AEW is just a little bit of a better fit. But we'll see, man. We'll see where he ends up going. I have no idea, but I really do hope it's AEW. Alvin White Jr. says, if Seth has to miss WrestleMania, hope not. Do you think they let Priest cash in? I don't see that being the match, though. Like, let's say they do have Priest cash in. And look, I'm going to say no. For one, I don't think it would be Priest versus CM Punk, for example. And two, I feel like it would be too predictable if you were to have Damian Priest just cash in on Seth Rollins this Monday, for example. It would just be too predictable. I think they're better off going a different direction and then waiting to eventually get that cash in. It just doesn't feel like the right time right now for Priest to do that cash in. Thank you so much to Alvin White Jr. We got Toby Schwashbauer. Thank you so much for this generous super chat. Toby says, I love how they had Priest in a huge match in Puerto Rico. Do you think we will get a massive match for Rhea in Australia? Maybe that's where they do Rhea versus Nia or Becky. I know that, like, look, if we're getting I'm not going to say that confidently, but I'm predicting we're getting Becky and Rhea at WrestleMania, because on Raw, when they were talking about it, when they had that promo, they didn't say Elimination Chamber. They said WrestleMania. WrestleMania was the spoken word there. And so I do think that it's going to be Rhea Ripley, Becky at WrestleMania. Now, what match they do at Elimination Chamber for her, it's got to be big time. I wouldn't mind it if they did Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax, because if she were to defeat Nia Jax, like Nia Jax is, you know, they've been building her up. People have been liking her run in WWE this time a lot more than some of her past stuff. And so if you do have Rhea Ripley defeat somebody like Nia, especially the size of Nia, it just puts over Rhea Ripley as this like more dominant figure. And so for that reason, I'm not against them doing Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax at Elimination Chamber. I wouldn't hate it if they had Rhea Ripley put her title up in the Elimination Chamber matchup itself and have her compete with four other women. Like, I would not hate that either. I think it would just help her look even more dominant, because she's going to be, you know, in Australia, you're going to want to have Rhea Ripley coming out looking like a zillion bucks. I mean, she's already going in looking like a million, so she'll come out of it looking like a zillion. Toby, thank you so much for the super chat. But yeah, also the freaking Puerto Rico match between the Backlash match for Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, that was definitely like the highest point for Damian Priest, I would say. And I wish that I think like that match really proved that he can do a lot of really great things in WWE. For those that weren't familiar with his work beforehand, that was the match that really proved that, you know what, Damian Priest can do a lot of special things in WWE, because that was a hell of a match. Very entertaining. Kevin NGO says, Seth doing announcement on Raw. He's vacating, in my opinion, says Kevin. William Buhner says, Priest cashing and then he loses to Drew in a main event. I just don't want the cash in to be so predictable, you know? I really don't want it to be so predictable. And like the whole point to me of a cash in and having the Money in the Bank briefcase is to not be predictable. So I wouldn't necessarily, I like the idea of doing Priest and Drew and having Drew maybe win the title from there and going into WrestleMania as champion. That would be pretty freaking cool. Man, if Drew wasn't in the picture right now, I don't know who I would go with, because you can't say Roman. Roman's doing something else. Cody, most likely doing something else. Gunther, most likely doing something else. All of these other people are already going different directions. So Seth and Drew McIntyre are really the options right now for CM Punk for WrestleMania. William Buhner, thank you so much for also being a DWO member. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on, because we got a couple more things to get into in regards to SmackDown. All right, Kevin Owens show brings in Logan Paul. I'm curious, what did you guys think of this back and forth between both of these guys? Because I thought it was good. I was expecting more shots from Logan Paul to Kevin Owens. I thought he was going to come out there and be like, you're filthy, or all of these terrible things, similar to what he's been saying in these videos, shaming Kevin Owens about his body and his weight and all of that. So I was kind of expecting Logan Paul to like really lean into that. I was surprised that he didn't. But I did like that Logan Paul basically said, oh, you're the reason that I'm out here being a WWE superstar. And then he rode the clip from WrestleMania 37 when KO hit him with a stunner. But my favorite thing of all of this was Kevin Owens, man. Kevin Owens, he was like, yes, I'm going to give you props for being really good and for sticking it out, but you're not a WWE superstar. You're not like me. You're not like Rey Mysterio. You're not like Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins. He names all of these guys and he says, you're not like them. That got a real big pop from the crowd, because I think the crowd was like, hell yeah. Like, even though Logan Paul is good, you can't necessarily, because he's not a full-time professional wrestler the way that all of these other guys are, it's almost like you don't want to necessarily give him his due in that manner. And so I think that got a really good reaction from the people. But there was another line that I thought was interesting too. And it was when Kevin Owens told Logan, like, oh yeah, you can come out here and you can call me fat and all of these things. And he said, well, he didn't say it like that, but he said, like, you can call me and make fun of my weight. But he said, there are things I can't say about you because you're sheltered, you're protected. And I thought, oh, that's good. Because we all know that if Kevin Owens really wanted to go in on Logan Paul and bring up all of these, you know, all of these things that he's been known for doing and the news and why people hate him and all of these things. Like, Logan Paul has had his fair share of negative publicity. And so Kevin Owens could have easily brought all of that in. And he didn't. And he said, you know, I could, but no, you know, I can't say these things. And so I thought that was interesting. I don't know, maybe I read too much into that line, but that's the way that I took it. I read that line as like, you know, buddy, you know, I can't say these things because then the people up there are going to get really pissed that I brought up all of these horrible, dark little secrets of yours. So I thought that was really good. I was a big fan of that. And pretty much this all ends up with Kevin Owens about to take off his cast and Logan Paul ends up sucker punching him in the face and they ended up brawling with each other. So this was good. I liked the back and forth, but I thought Kevin Owens was really, really the one that was the best here in this back and forth, which I was surprised because I really thought that Logan Paul was going to come in here with some real hot zingers. But for me, it was definitely Kevin Owens. So let's see what people are saying. John, this was from Brandon, who says that the segment was fantastic. We got John Deller saying it was eh. Furthausen says he muted it. Sorry, KO. Johnny T thought that Kevin Owens was hysterical. I agree. Like, there was good stuff. David here says that he loves the clash of styles between Logan Paul and Kevin Owens, two very different dudes, man. I thought it was funny because at one point, Logan Paul was like running down like all of these names and things that he's good at. He was like, I'm the guy that your girlfriend has a crush on. I'm the guy that your kids are a fan of. I'm a marketing genius. I'm this, I'm that. And Kevin Owens looks at him and he goes, I don't know what any of that stuff you said even means. And it killed me. It killed me because, like, yeah, Logan Paul is saying all of these things, hyping himself up. And Kevin Owens is like, all right, bro, like, what the hell does that even mean? And to a lot of people, I think it's more relatable to, we always talk about Kevin Owens being one of the most relatable people in WWE, right? Or just relatable in period. And this is relatable. Like, Logan Paul was listing all of these things that not a lot of people might know about. And so that was really funny. But overall, I thought this was a good, strong little segment between Kevin Owens and Logan Paul. All right, Kayden and Katana, they defended their titles against Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, who are going as the Unholy Union. We knew this already. And two thoughts here. So there's quite a bit. First of all, this match was a little brief. I was honestly hoping, given that Alba Fire and Isla Dawn have not really been given a lot of time to really show and shine on SmackDown. Like, they haven't really had many matches. We haven't gotten to really see them wrestle. I feel like if you didn't watch them on NXT and you're just watching what you've seen from SmackDown, you haven't really seen anything from them. And so I was kind of hoping that this match went a little bit longer so that the people could see what these two girls can offer. As a person that watched their work on NXT, I'm like, damn, they're really freaking cool. We need to show the people that on SmackDown. And we're not really seeing that. And so I was hoping this match would be a little bit longer. It wasn't. Kayden and Katana, they looked fine. They got their win. They even got like a new entrance too. Katana had this really great little hairstyle with like colorful braids and stuff that looked really cool. But that was it. They get the win in a relatively short and quick match. Now, hopefully, they keep showing Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Please, let's have them wrestle every week on the show because we need to see way more of them. And here's the thing, though. Next week, we are going to get a match between Kayden and Katana versus Asuka and Kairi Sane, the former Kabuki Warriors, for the women's tag team title belts. Now, do we think that there's going to be a title change here? Are they going to change titles here? I'm going with yes. I know a lot of people are expecting for Bayley to do something and end up screwing them. I don't think so. I have a feeling they're going to win because I can't see, like, they haven't shown Kayden and Katana as like these dominant champions. Like, they just became champions not too long ago. So I can't really see them defeating Alba. I mean, sorry, defeating Asuka and Kairi Sane. Like, Asuka is just on this whole other level. She's a former champion, a multiple-time champion. And then you have Kairi Sane, you know, former tag champions together as well. I just feel like they are so established that I can't see them, like, pinning them cleanly and seeing them lose. So maybe some shenanigans happen and they retain, but I don't want it. I want to see them as champions. I feel like, why wait? Why hold up on it? Go for it now, man. I'm hoping that we do see a title change. And I know it may be too soon for Kayden and Katana, but you know what? When the time has come, the time has come. And I think the time is now. The time is now to make Asuka and Kairi Sane tag team champions. Because I really want to see, I don't know, I really want to see them be champions right now. And I think that they're going to do a lot of good for the tag team situation. So we will see. All right, so let's see. I think a lot of people are pretty much along the same lines. I'm not really seeing anybody out say that the title change is not going to happen. I know everybody likes Kayden and Katana, so do I, but I don't know. It just feels like it's the moment for Kabuki Warriors. Like, don't hold off on it. Because right now, like, the primary story is Bayley. It's Bayley and Damage Control as a whole. You want to give all of these members in Damage Control their own identity. Like, Asuka and Kairi, they're kind of just there right now. You know, they're cool. We love to look at them, but they're kind of just there. So they have them become tag team champions and have them really, really give these tag team titles like an honest to God great reign with competitive matches, all that what we want to see out of the women's tag team division. The people to do it with are Asuka and Kairi. So those are the reasons why I want to see the title change. Those are the reasons. All right, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits and the Final Testament. So they really just did two promos in the back. Bobby Lashley and the Profits were basically saying that they're going to show them what real intimidation looks like. And that was kind of it. They got their attention. They're pissed off that they're saying that they're the real monsters. All right, cool. So then we got the Final Testament. They're out there doing their little vignette as well. And they say that the Street Profits and Bobby are yes men, and they're not. They're destructors. They're uncivilized, and they're going to face them next week face to face. I'm assuming this is a confrontation, unless they met face to face in a matchup. I don't think they announced this matchup on SmackDown officially. But regardless, we're going to see them face-to-face. Whether that meant face-to-face in a match or face-to-face in the ring, that's for your guys' interpretation. I'm pretty sure they meant a match, though. I'm pretty sure they meant a match. So I'm expecting a six-man match because they didn't actually show a graphic for this. So unless I missed it, we'll see. But anyways, they're planning on showing the world who the real Almighty are. All right, guys. Nothing much else to add about that. We got people saying face-to-face promo. We got people saying in the ring. You see what I mean, guys? They need to show us the graphic. They don't show us the graphic. We're out here going, well, what do you mean by that? I'm pretty sure they meant face-to-face in the ring, so we'll see. All right, guys. Carmelo Hayes, speaking of matches that are going to happen next week, Carmelo Hayes has a promo on SmackDown. He's being interviewed by Kathy Kelly, and he barely gets to say anything, and he's interrupted by Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. And Theory's pissed off because he's like, you're out here getting an interview on my show in my city? And he's not happy about that. So Carmelo Hayes tells him, let's do this match again next week, because we know how things played out, where unfortunately both guys and the match had to stop abruptly after a little bit of a scare there. They're fine. They're good. But they're not going to do the match until next week. And Austin Theory didn't want to do the match, by the way. Austin Theory was like, no, I'm busy. But Grayson Waller butted in and he's like, nope, you don't have any plans. You could do this match. And so Grayson Waller basically approves this match, or rather accepts this match on his behalf. And so Austin Theory was not happy about that. But looks like they're still good. They're still good. It's just that he wasn't happy about it. Sheldon Jackson says, thoughts on Okada leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling, and where do you want him to sign with, since this is your first show since the news dropped? So I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but it's definitely AEW. And I think there's a lot of potential there. I had mentioned earlier how we have all of these people like Will Ospreay there, Jay White, and just so many different people that he can have all of these great stories with on AEW. I feel like there's just too much of a talent pool there that, and I feel like AEW suits him more in the sense that he's been there already. They know, he knows what he can get out of AEW. And I think that WWE, it's like, damn, obviously you would want to know what the potential is there. Like, can I be at WrestleMania? Which I'm pretty sure Okada can definitely be at WrestleMania. But so what do? Do you go all the way with WWE? Do you go into the, you know, unfamiliar territory? Or do you go with what you know in AEW and kind of help that company continue to grow? And with all, like, again, with all of the new people coming in, with all of the guys that are starting to become stars, like, do you start telling stories there? Where do you go in this direction? So I think it's a matter of just what Okada wants to, what he sees the next couple of years looking like for him. Like, what are those bucket list items? So depending on that, we'll see what he ends up going, where he ends up going. So we'll see. But I'm going to go with AEW right now. That just feels like the safest prediction, I guess. The safest prediction, but never say never, man. Never say never. I think it would be very intriguing to see him in WWE. That's for sure. Sheldon, thank you so much for the super chat. William King says Denise Salcedo Okada and Impact next week. Oh, I love it. All right, let's get into, we got a couple more items to get into, actually, guys. Two more matches to discuss, and also some big topic that came out of one of those tag team matches. But before we do, everybody, I want to give some love over to Magic Spoon. My New Year's resolution is to cut back on sugar and add more protein to my diet to help me stay on track of my fitness goals this year. And Magic Spoon makes that easier and more delicious than ever. Magic Spoon comes in a variety pack. The four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. My favorite flavor is the fruity one. Head on over to magicspoon.com/Denise to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use my promo code Denise at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, start the new year off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/Denise and use the code Denise to save $5 off. Alrighty, and we are back. BTW, guys, if any of you guys do purchase Magic Spoon with my promo code, please let me know. Reach out to me on social media. It would be a huge help to kind of know who's out there, who's buying the product. Very tasty. Give it a chance. All right, so, oh, and link is in the description box below. LWO, Legado del Fantasma. This was pretty straightforward, not too much to add here. Cruz del Toro and Angel Garza had a really nice little exchange at the top of this match. 2024 has been very, very kind to the LWO. We've spoken about them on SmackDown, on NXT. They're kind of popping up everywhere and starting to really get a little bit of buzz underneath them, which they should. Escobar gets the win. He rolls up Carlito, and this was pretty much just an overall good start for Legado. They definitely had to get this win, so thumbs up there. But the one I wanted to talk about is Pretty Deadly versus Tyler Bates and Pete Dunne, everybody. That is right. Butch is done, and Pete Dunne is back. So we had already had this tease last week where they played this vignette where Pete Dunne at the end, Butch by then, was basically left there like kind of thinking about who he is and what he was going to do next. And I think for the most part, we all knew that the Pete Dunne name was going to be back by then. And so today he comes out, he's got his entrance and he's got the Tron and it says Pete Dunne. And I'm like, yes, finally, because Pete Dunne is a wrestler that you want to, I don't know, have that extra level of respect for. He's a great wrestler. We've seen him so much on NXT. I mean, do not let this guy near any of your limbs because he will just wreak havoc on you. Do not let him near your fingers. He will bend them and snap them and crack them and all of that. So this is a man that we want to just root for because he's a good wrestler, an entertaining wrestler at that. And I just don't think that Butch was the name or was the, it wasn't very appealing in terms of it sort of minimizing him as a pro wrestler. So for that reason, I think a lot of people are very happy that Pete Dunne is back. So we had this match, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate versus Pretty Deadly. A fun matchup, man. Exactly what you expected. Pete Dunne goes out there and he's like bending the fingers of Kit Wilson. He's snapping the left arm, bringing it all the way back. Like anytime you watch Pete Dunne do this to any wrestler, everybody's watching going, oh, I would not want to be that guy right now. Everybody, every single time. You think the same thing. I do not want to be that guy because nobody wants to experience that. But really fun stuff. Tyler Bate does his airplane spin. Also on Kit that knocks down Elton. That was pretty funny. At one point, Tyler just like, bam, sucker punches Elton right in the face, pretty much turning out his lights. And bitter end from Pete Dunne. Gets the win, and man, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, a new team to get excited about here on SmackDown. Obviously, not a new team per se, but a new team here on SmackDown. So I feel like this was definitely a good way to kick off the year for both Pete and Tyler Bate, because Tyler Bate, my God, a great wrestler that was stuck on developmental and NXT for way longer than he should have been. He should have been in the spot a whole long time ago. Brandon Roseanne says, long live the Bruiserweight BTW. That theme music is badass. I agree, my friend. I agree. You know what else's theme music I liked today? And maybe it's because we haven't heard it enough that I just noticed it today, or maybe it was new. Who the hell knows? Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn, their whole entrance was really cool today with the real, like, hard-hitting music and then all of the smoke and the smog, or smog, smoke, the smoke. I say smog because I'm out here in LA and there's tons of smog everywhere. Our oxygen's terrible. But anyways, the smoke, they were really bringing it. It was good stuff there. Brandon Rosen, thank you so much for the super chat. All right, guys, that was it. That was Friday Night SmackDown for January 19th. As I mentioned before, do not miss my interview with Dustin Rhodes. It is up right now. Go check it out. Everybody that's listened to the entire thing has written the exact same thing to me, and it makes me very happy. Everybody is saying, damn, we wish it was longer. And keep in mind, it was 48 minutes and people still wanted it to be longer. Trust me, I wanted it too, but my time was up and I got as much as I could possibly get. So it was a really good conversation and I think it definitely left people wanting even more. That's how good of an interview Dustin Rhodes is. So check that out. And then also next week, I will be back for NXT. AEW Dynamite Conversation, Royal Rumble predictions, a ton of Royal Rumble coverage since I will be in Tampa. So keep an eye out on the channel. I will be putting out tons of content for everybody here. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat saying Pete Dunne's original theme was lit. His current theme is terrible. I would have to go back and re-listen to them because I tend to forget. If your theme is not super, super memorable, I'll tend to forget it. It doesn't help like if certain songs don't have words for me, I won't remember it as right away. So anyways, I got to go back and refresh my memory on both, on the original theme. Thank you so much to Sheldon for the super chat though. Appreciate that, man. All right, guys, that is it. Thank you, everybody. And I will catch you guys tomorrow, actually, for Collision. Almost forgot to promote that. I will be here doing a Collision stream. So I'll see you guys for that. Bye, everyone.